Greetings on your Sabbath day, friends and neighbors. It's Pastor Bob. And we're coming to you a bit tardy today. So if you're one of the early listeners, or kind of early, or noonish listener, or early afternoon, you've probably been waiting a little bit. We apologize. But here we are. It's August 29th. It's episode number 21 of Daily Respite. And on Sundays, as you know, that's our wild card day. And we'll feature authors that aren't in the regular six-day batting order. On Sundays, we'll pull someone else into the game for a week. And so that's what we've done today. And we're going to reach out to, as my mom calls him, my Dutch priest, Henry Nouwen. For today's devotion and meditation today, we're going to take this from Henry Nouwen's little classic, The Selfless Way of Christ. The Selfless Way of Christ. Subtitle, which as you know are always the kicker. The subtitle, Downward Mobility and the Spiritual Life. You see, the worldly life, it's all about upward mobility. You never end, you know, it's a constant. You're always climbing, always trying to get more, more, more. That's one way to live. And the spiritual way of life is down, downward mobility, simple, right? Fewer, quieter, calmer, right? And most especially, deeper. Amen. So this little book's about that Christian vocation of the downward lifestyle. And today's devotion is going to come to you from the beginning. It's chapter one of the book, Downward Mobility as Christian Vocation. In other words, it's a Christian calling to live a downwardly mobile lifestyle. That's what Henry Nouwen claims. All right, let's begin now. This is from Henry Nouwen. He says, in one of the most profound prayers ever written, the Apostle Paul writes to the Christians of Ephesus. And if you have your Bible, this is taken from Ephesians 1, 17 through 20, right? Paul's letter to the Christians of Ephesus, Ephesians 1, 17, 20. Listen to the Word of God here. May the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give you a spirit of wisdom and perception of what is revealed to bring you to full knowledge of God. May God enlighten the eyes of your mind so that you can see what hope God's call holds for you, what rich glories God has promised the saints will inherit, and how infinitely great is the power that God has exercised for us believers. This you can tell from the strength of God's power at work in Christ, when God used it to raise him from the dead and to make him sit at God's right hand in heaven. Amen. Nouwen says, this prayer makes clear that the spiritual life is a life guided by the same Spirit who guided Jesus Christ, the very same Spirit. The Spirit is the breath of Christ in us, the divine power of Christ active in us, the mysterious source of new vitality by which we are made aware that it is not we who live, but Christ who lives in us. Indeed, to live a spiritual life means to become living Christs. It is not enough to try to imitate Christ as much as possible. It is not enough to remind others of Jesus. It is not even enough to be inspired by the words and actions of Jesus Christ. No. The spiritual life presents us with a far more radical demand To be living Christ's here and now, in time and in history. We will never come to know our true vocation in life unless we are willing to grapple with the radical claim the gospel places on us. During the past 20 centuries, many Christians have heard this radical call and have responded to it in true obedience. Some became hermits in the desert, while others became servants in the city. Some went to distant lands as preachers, teachers, and healers, while others remained where they were, raised families, and worked faithfully. Some became famous, while others remained unknown. Although their responses reveal an extraordinary diversity, these Christians all heard the call to follow Christ without compromise. Regardless of the particular shape we give to our lives, Jesus' call to discipleship is primal, all-encompassing, all-inclusive, demanding. It's a total commitment. One cannot be a little bit for Christ, give him some attention, or make him one of many concerns. Is it possible to follow Christ while fulfilling the demands of the world? To listen to Christ while paying equal attention to others? To carry Christ's cross while carrying many other burdens as well? Jesus certainly appears to draw a very sharp distinction. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, Jesus says, "No one can be the slave of two masters." He insisted on this, and he did not hesitate to confront us with the uncompromising demands of his call. He also said in Matthew chapter 7 and chapter 10, "It is a narrow gate and hard road that leads to life. Anyone who prefers father or mother to me is not worthy of me." These challenging words are not meant only for a few of Jesus' followers who have a so-called special vocation. Rather, they are for all who consider themselves Christians. They indicate the radical nature of the call. There is no easy way to follow Christ. As he himself says, "Whoever is not for me is against me." Amen.